Hey Budai Nation, welcome to the Ecom Show, where we invite e-commerce entrepreneurs, marketers, and agencies to talk about e-commerce, the best strategies and tactics, and what to implement in your own e-com store. Before we jump into this episode, I ask you to subscribe to this podcast, and if you like it, make sure you share it with at least one friend. As you probably know, we don't run ads. Our growth is purely organic, so it would mean the world to me if you could support us. And now let's jump into the episode. The 10 commandments of email campaigns. So email marketing has been here for a while, and though not as long as this guy in this picture with his 10 commandments, but email marketing has been here since the 70s, so for many decades, and email campaigns has been here for decades as well. And also I've been doing with our team email marketing and campaigns for 7 years now, and during these 7 years we noticed patterns. We sent out more than 500 million marketing emails, mostly on behalf of our e-commerce clients. And we noticed different patterns, and I want to share the 10 most important with you today. So in a nutshell about me and my company, our team. So up to date, we work with more than 170 e-commerce stores, and 70% of them, they are in the US. On the US market, the rest is mostly in the UK and Europe. We generated more than 80 million USD for our clients along these years, and our primary tool is Klaviyo. However, I would never say that we are a Klaviyo only agency. We've tried more than 10 different email software tools in the past 7 years, so I really think we know, you know, all of the major tools now. So before we jump into email campaigns, just to recap what we will discuss today and what we want. So there are flows and automations, or we can call them sequences as well. And these are triggered by certain actions, typically on the website. So easy example, somebody abandons a cart, somebody purchases, somebody subscribes in your pop-up and sign-up form. So certain actions happen on the website, and this triggers an automation in your email marketing software, and these emails go out 724 or 24/7 to everyone. So today I will not talk about these. However, these are very powerful because these are really behavior triggered emails, and typically the revenue per recipient is higher for this category than for email campaigns. Email campaigns or broadcast emails, we can call them newsletters as well. So these are these require more manual work by your team, because we have to find the segment that we want to email, and typically when there is a new brand, this generates less revenue than an email flow. However, as your email list grows by time and your business becomes more mature, then this will generate more revenue than your email automation. So today we will focus on these email campaigns. So some of these principles will be simple, but not always easy. And I think many times to be a master of a field really comes down to these parts, these elements, which are simple, but not always easy. So number one is simply create an actual plan, an email campaign plan in your Google Sheets. So you want to do this in order to be on the same page, or pun intended, same spreadsheet. You want to be on the same spreadsheet with your whole team. But besides emails, you also want to align all of your marketing activities and content, including your ads, your social, your offline marketing channels, and your email campaigns together. And how we do this with our clients? So we add the sending date of the campaign, the exact sending time of the campaign, the segment that we email to, this is super important, the angle, so how we will sell the product, or not always the product, but sometimes the content as well, and also what content type we will send out. And of course, we add all the technical details, coupon code, links, all the major information. So here you can see an example. There is the sending date, the major type of the email. So if this is a sales email, trust email, content email, maybe just a flash promo email. And here's the segment. As you can see, we can use several different segments. Discounts, so this brand doesn't really use discounts. It's not their strategy. Any kind of notes, additional details. And finally, A-B test. So as you can see, we A-B test majority or almost all of our campaigns actually, and we add the details for the whole team to be aware of this. So number two is segment your list properly. So what we want to avoid, and unfortunately I can still see many brands doing this, so they simply email their all active subscribers, basically their whole email list, and that's a terrible strategy. Please don't do this. If you have more than a couple thousand subscribers, you should start segmenting, because email marketing is really about sending the right message to the right people at the right time. So you can see that because of this tactic, let's say, because they don't segment, their open rate is very low. So it's 8% and 9%, and their click rate is also really bad. It's below 1% on the average, and actually compared to that, the conversions are not that bad. So like 33 people clicked and 9 purchased. That's actually very solid. So yeah, they bought on the website, which is pretty cool. But regarding email marketing, this is a bad practice. So segmentation is just something super important. And now you may ask, okay, Daniel, but how can I segment your list or my list? So I'm a huge fan of this quote that you need only 1,000 true fans. And instead of sending mass email, segment your list and send different creatives to different segments. Also differentiate between the cadence, how frequently you email different segments. So I can definitely see that a brand with 5,000 high value VIP customers, subscribers, they can make much more money than somebody having, let's say, 50,000 email subscribers, which are cold and they don't care about your emails. I can see this almost every day. So this is so important. You really want those 1,000 true fans for your brand, and you want to be able to find them with proper segmentation. So when it comes to practice, the three types of segmentation that we typically use. Number one is location. So this is especially important if you sell into multiple countries, like in Europe. Number two is purchase history, what somebody purchased in the past. And number three is our favorite, which is engagement level. So we basically track people who opened an email in the last 15 days, and we call them engage 15 as a segment. We do the same for engage 30. Those are people who opened an email at least once in the last 30 days. So we find these segments, and that's how we email people. You can see this here in the screenshot. Engage last 30 days France, engage last 30 days Deutschland, engage last 30 days England, and all of these. Number three, so don't be like this guy. Nobody wants to be like this guy as a business owner. So you don't want to beg your customers to buy from you. Basically, what I mean by this, so if you send only promotional emails all the time, you will look like this guy, because you always beg your subscribers to buy from you. So you don't want to become him, and that's why we mix up content and trust building emails with sales and promo emails. Okay, so you may ask now, okay, what's the ideal ratio of the two? And I would say start with 50-50, and then you can iterate. So just really test out ideas, 50% content, 50% sales, see what converts better, what engages people better. Also check it for different segments, and you can iterate. So how to get content ideas for your emails? Two of my favorite tools are BuzzSumo and Google Alert. Actually, Google Alert, it allows you to subscribe to important notifications, updates in a certain niche, even if it's a very small niche. So that's why I really like it. You can get really specific with Google Alert. But what we you typically send out is jokes, hacks, tricks, tips, educational content or entertainment sometimes. Actually, jokes can convert very well sometimes. People like having some fun. Send surveys. One of my favorite tactics is send out a survey. Ask people what they think about your brand and get the most positive reviews. And the next day, send those out to your least engaged subscribers and you will surprise how much it will engage them. And some of them, they will even buy. Okay, so number four, think about your next upsell and segment accordingly. So now we are getting a bit more thoughtful about our segmentation. But basically, what's the logic here? If somebody buys product A first, then they usually buy product B as well, or product C. So we try to see these patterns. They're really the customer journey, and you want to be thoughtful about your segmentation for your next email campaign based on this. So you want to think about what are the product combinations that keep getting repeated. So my favorite tool for this is Triple Whale and their product journey feature, especially for Shopify stores. And how this works, so here's this example Shopify store. Their best-selling product is the Top Knot ponytail holder, whatever this product is. And after they purchased it, they usually buy the same product again. So they buy the Top Knot ponytail holder again. And that's actually the best-selling product as the number two product once they purchase this one first. And then the second most popular is the Naomi ponytail. And the third is the Lulu 2 strand. And then only other products after. So these are the most popular three products for those people who purchase the Top Knot ponytail holder first. And in your email campaign, you can segment out those people who purchased this product already and they haven't purchased yet another product, and you can target them, laser target them with a campaign where you try to push these three products that they can buy. So that's how we become really strategic with our customer journey and segmentation for email campaigns. Number five, so this one is a bit more advanced. I would say this is for those businesses who have at least 50,000 or even 100,000 subscribers. And I know some experts, they say you can start doing this even with a couple thousand subscribers. Honestly, I don't think it makes sense. So RFM segmentation, it stands for recency, frequency, and monetary. Basically, we analyze three different aspects of each subscriber, and we give a rating from 1 to 5 for each category. So how recently they purchased, how frequently they purchase in general, and also the monetary value of their purchases. So the total value that they've purchased until now. And here's an example. Actually, these are the best subscribers in each category, so straight 5 for each three, and these are called soulmates. So they are the most loyal, have the highest AOV, and they even bought recently, so they really max out all these three categories. So these are called soulmates. Actually, this tool gives you these fantasy names for each of these categories, and you can see different data for them. For example, their net promoter score, which is 84%, and this is for soulmates. You can see other categories like lovers or new passion, flirting, potential lovers. And these categories, the names suggest the ratings for each of these three elements of this RFM segmentation. So once we have these three, then we can actually connect this with Klaviyo or any email tools, and we can create segments based on this, and we can send different email campaigns to these people. Number six, focus on your best-selling product. So, you know, there is nothing new under the sun. Basically, I can see different e-commerce companies, they try different products in their campaigns, and sometimes they can go very exotic. But honestly, if you want to have the highest conversion, in most cases you just want to push the best-selling product. So you can go into Google Analytics or Shopify, check your best sellers historically and in the past few months, and you can just push those in your next email campaign. I think that needs to be the majority of your sales strategy. So you don't want to sell something that never really sold in any other marketing channel, and that's just the brute reality of marketing. Hey Budai Nation, welcome to the Ecom Show. I ask you to subscribe to this podcast, and if you like it, make sure you share it with at least one friend. As you probably know, we don't run ads. Our growth is purely organic, so it would mean the world to me if you could support us. And now let's jump into the episode. Number seven, so consider running a sales event at least once a month, and even if there is nothing to celebrate. I know there are holidays and months, and it's very easy, like Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas, Valentine's Day in February, and those months are easy because everyone runs Black Friday sales or Christmas sales. But there are months which are not that easy, for example January or June. So there are, you know, not much going on, at least in the US. It depends on the country, of course, but let's talk about the US now. So in that case, you actually want to come up with your own holidays. You can make up things. And I just put here a list. Actually, if you go online, you will see that almost every day there is an international day of something. And even if you don't find a good one, you can come up with your own. So with one of our clients, we have an international dog day every year. That's a good example. And basically what you want and what your subscribers want, so they just want to get a logical reason to buy from you. They always want to buy from you, but you just want to give them a logical reason because they want to justify their decision to buy from you. So that's why you want to come up with this. And what is our strategy regarding the sales event? So instead of sending a content email, rather you want to make it more periodical. So during the month, we send out trust and content emails. And then for 1 week, typically for 1 week, we push really hard with sales and promo emails. So we send only sales and promo emails which are related to the sales event. And in our experience, this periodicity is a much better approach than content sales. So it gives a very nice rhythm that actually people get used to on your email list. So now let me show you a real example. So this is a Boston-based sunglasses brand, and as you can see, this campaign went out to the whole list, which we typically do with the very first sales email campaign of the holiday event. This generated almost $30,000, this one single email. And as you can see, the open rate is not even that great. I would say the click rate is solid, it's 3.9%, and more than 200 orders were placed. And actually this was the email, so it's relatively simple. There is a hero image on the top, a short copy where we just simply state that we opened up this holiday sales event. Actually, this was Black Friday. And then there is only one call to action to buy. So now, what's the exact strategy? Feel free to steal this one. So the very first email is a pre-announcement email that we send out. And here we use typically no discount, no link. Sometimes it's just a plain text email. We simply tell people that tomorrow something big will happen because there is this holiday coming, and we just really build anticipation so people, they will know what will happen tomorrow. And then the next day we send a grand opener email, typically with a code. We can also send out an SMS campaign, and this is typically sent out to the whole email and SMS list, the email that I showed you in this slide. So basically we tell people that, okay, now we are opening this big event, and here's your code or you know, your surprise that you can use in the store and you can buy from us. And this email usually generates the most revenue across the whole structure that you can see here. The following days, we send out reminders, typically one a day, sometimes even multiple times a day. If you want to get more, you know, fancy, you can change your offer, but even if you keep the same and you just remind people, it's fine. And once we get close to the end end of the sales event, then we start sending urgency emails, which are typically plain text and very simple. You can also send SMS campaigns, because texting is just very good to build some scarcity and urgency in the mind of people. People, they take a look at their mobile and, oh wow, I'm missing out, so I must go to the store to buy. So if your brand and your whole marketing is built out well, then this can really work. So we send out these urgency types of messages 1 or 2 days before the whole event, and we tell them some urgency, scarcity, only 12 hours left, only 3 hours left, only 50 items left, and so on and so forth. And it really incentivizes people to buy from you even more. And finally, if you want, you can send out a sales event extension message, which means that we basically tell people that we extend this whole sales event for 1 more day or 2 more days. Honestly, I'm not a huge fan of it. It can devalue your brand if you do it wrong. So yeah, be mindful about this. And again, this whole sequence takes 4 or 5 days. When it's, let's say, Black Friday, Cyber Monday, it's 7 days, but that's the typical timeline of this structure. Number 8, so truly consider the tone of voice of your audience. What kind of language are they using? Do they respond more to visuals or powerful copy? And you need to focus on that. So in our experience, if you sell more visual items and the buying decision is more like an impulse buying behavior, typically with a lower average order value, then we can see design working really well. It sells the product very well. However, if it's a more rational buying decision and less emotional, typically for highly priced items, then I would say copywriting becomes more important. So you really want to think about this. And if you don't know what kind of copy fits your brand and your products, what kind of design, here's some help. So this is what we use with our client. My favorite is the first one. So how would you describe the tone you are aiming for? Please pick the right one from these pairs. So we give people pairs of words, casual versus formal, youthful or mature, humorous or serious, warm or detached. And basically they have to underline only one of the two. And let's say somebody picks casual, okay, I'm more mature, I'm more serious, I'm more warm. And by the end of this exercise, you will collect the right words, and actually you will have many words that describes your ideal copy. So that's really my favorite. This is why it's really my favorite, because many people, they cannot describe the ideal tone of voice, but this really helps them. Also, what works in your current content, paid ads, keywords, and also show us examples if you can. Design, so besides the usual things like your logo and images and all the sets that you have, our favorite is simply asking people what you like or what your audience liked in the past the most. So we typically ask business owners or the marketing manager that what are those emails that you like from other brands, from your competitors, or just in general, you really like the design of it, or what are those that the audience responded very well. And then usually they can show us examples so we know what they want, what they meant, and what we can build on. Number 9, so check your engagement metrics per email provider. There are multiple reasons why it's so important nowadays. So one is different email providers, different spam filters. So we can see that while Gmail relies more on your engagement, it's a bit closer to the algorithm of social media platforms. We can see that Hotmail and Outlook, they are more technical. They care more about the reputation of your sending domain and sender IP, all of that. So that's one reason. But also there is a recent reason, because in 2024 February, Gmail and Yahoo, they changed their spam policies, and actually they became more strict what counts as a spam for them. And also simply just the technology just became mature enough to be able to differentiate between the different engagement metrics of your emails for different email providers. So now this screenshot is from Klaviyo, so it can show you how is the open rate with green, and the click rate is the other one. So how the open rate and the click rate looks like for different providers. We can see that here that the open rate for Hotmail is pretty bad, and for the others it's much better. And it can also show you the negative metrics. So we can also see that Hotmail has a very high bounce rate, and unsubscribe rate is the highest for AOL and Gmail. So now we can see all of these data. In general, we can see that Gmail is the most important for most businesses because they have the majority of the market share now, but Hotmail is the most challenging. It's just so difficult with Hotmail sometimes. I will share an example in a minute with you. So how we can solve this issue? Let's say we have a problem with Hotmail, as you could see in the example. So basically, we want to find those people who use Hotmail, so the problematic email provider, versus anything else. And you can see this here. So on one layer, we found people who use Hotmail and not Hotmail. And on another layer, we found people who opened an email in the past 15 days and 30 days and even 60, 90 days and so on and so forth. So engagement-based segmentation, it's combined with what email provider they used, basically. And once we have this, we want to email Hotmail users only the most engaged ones. So I will start with engage 15 Hotmail for a few weeks. So because these people, they are the most likely to open your email again and engage with your emails again. So we just pick those people, engage 15 Hotmail. And for not Hotmail users, you can just keep doing what you've been doing. So let's say email, engage 30, not Hotmail. And then we separate these groups for a while, we email them differently. And once we can see that the Hotmail users have better engagement metrics, we can broaden the segmentation. We can start emailing engage 30 Hotmail. And after a few weeks, once this issue is solved, we can merge Hotmail and not Hotmail users. And basically, we can just manage them as there is no difference between them. And finally, the last one. So use a third-party tool to track your deliverability, or tools. There are different ones out in the market. So email software platforms, they don't tell you how many emails go into spam. Honestly, just not their interest, because it also depends on their infrastructure. So our favorite is Mail Monitor and Glock app. Glock app is more for small, medium. Mail Monitor is probably more enterprise. It's just more expensive. But here you can see the screenshot from Glock app. So in this example, 71% of emails went into inbox, 12% for promo tab, and 16% for spam into spam, which is actually really high. You typically want to stay below 10 or even 5%. So how this tool works? So basically, they send you a seed list, which is a list of email addresses that this software company owns. And then you email them with a regular email campaign. And basically, the tool can see how many emails go into spam, promo, or inbox. And as you can see, it breaks down for different email providers. And you can also pick what email provider you want to monitor. So with our US clients, we typically pick US Popular, which is a B2C typically. There is also a US Business, but we could pick France, Germany, UK, Poland, Russia, different countries. And it typically shows an average mix of the market there. So for US Popular B2C, we can see AOL, Outlook, Yahoo, Gmail, Hotmail, and all of that. And as you can see, AOL and Yahoo, it inboxed 100% of the times, while Outlook is actually 100% spam, and Hotmail as well. So again, we have an issue with Hotmail here, and we want to solve this. And in total, 22% of emails went into spam, so this is high. We want to solve this issue, but at least now we diagnose the problem, and we can use the strategy that I showed you a couple minutes ago, how to separate different email email providers and engagement and what strategy to use to really solve this issue. But without using this third-party tool, you wouldn't be aware of this spam rate issue. So just to sum it up, number one, create an action plan in Google Sheets so your whole team will see what email campaign plan you have for the month. Number two, segment your list properly. Ideally, focus on engagement-based segmentation between a couple thousand up to 50,000 subscribers. Number three, mix up content and sales. You can start with 50-50 and then you can test and iterate. Number four, think about your next upsell segment accordingly. So you really think about if somebody buys this product, what's the next product that they will buy most likely. Number five, consider a recency frequency monetary based segmentation if you have at least 50 or even 100,000 email subscribers. Number six, focus on your best selling product. So you don't need to reinvent the wheel. Focus on the best selling products in your email campaigns. Number seven, run a sales event once a month. Even that is nothing to celebrate. You can come up with your own holidays and sales events and run it for 5, 6, 7 days. Otherwise, you can focus on content and trust building emails across the month. Number eight, truly consider the tone of voice for your audience. Simply just steal the questions that I showed you and think about if design or copy is more important to sell your products. Number nine, check your engagement metrics per email provider. Use a tool like Klaviyo and you can see those. And number 10, use a third-party tool to track your inbox rate, aka deliverability. And once you have this data and also the email provider data, you can use the strategy that I showed you to make this whole thing better. And now after these, you may ask, okay, Dania, but where to start? And my answer is quite simple. Start with the actual plan in your Google Sheets, because if you don't have a plan, you don't know where you are going. So I hope you learned a lot from me today, and thank you for your kind interest, and see you in my next video.